Lord, I appreciate your prayers.
Good night. Thank you for that song. Kind of witnesses to the message I feel like the Lord gave me. I'd like to start with a verse or two in the Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. Nine and 11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. One of the things that I truly appreciate about living for the Lord is I have times sometimes in my life where things bother me. And one of the things that can bother me is when I feel insecure, when I feel like that I'm just a subject to whatever happens. Have you ever felt like that? That you know you can't control the things around you, and you can get the feeling that you're just thrown to the wind, a circumstance or chance by whatever might happen. We was traveling recently and in the night, I think, might have made it worse, but we was traveling along and some rescue stuff came roaring by us and wasn't far up. They had the road blocked and an accident had happened. There was a vehicle there that was turned upside down and they had quite a bit of luggage, you could tell, and it was scattered along the road. There was medics already had people on the ground working with them. It was quite a hectic scene. My stomach turned over almost. I mean, I felt an awful pit in my stomach overseeing it, and kind of made me think we travel a lot. It looked like somebody kind of like us. It wasn't a van, but it looked like somebody that had a lot of stuff in there. They had a lot of suitcases and things that ended up over the road and all, and it made me instantly feel like it could have been us. I think quite a bit traveling through the times of the deep of the night, and we're all there, my children's laying back in the van asleep, and there's been times that I just barely missed an abutment or just almost hit a bridge or something that I in the night I maybe didn't see, maybe raining or something, and all of a sudden it was so close that it makes me feel like, what if? You ever have those kind of places? Well, one of the things that I can say I truly appreciate about the Lord is the understanding that I can have that we worship a God that can control all the elements of our life. I'm glad. Because when I start feeling that way, it isn't a good way to feel. Like just anything can happen. And that I'm just thrown to the wind. And you all out here, you live out in, this is tornado country out here. And they ravage, they change people's lives. They take lives. It's nothing to just take lightly out here. And it can change pretty quick. And when the storm's coming and they're calling for them, and maybe I'm kind of preaching to the choir here, you know more about it than I do, but when it happens, and it can just feel like, well, is it going to hit me or there, and I can lose my home, and I can lose my life, and all that we work for, and all that, it must be quite a feeling to have, that it's just, that I'm just a whatever the nature and the winds serve, that it's going to run right down, and there's nothing I can do about it, but I'm thankful that in the upheavals of life that my mind can run to a God that runs it all. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful when our government gets in an upheaval in our world around us that I can say God's in control. But He is in control. and I'm thankful that I can lean to that. Well, I want to talk a little bit of tonight about this little phrase of time and chance. That could be said time and opportunity. You might look at it that way too. But the writer here says that, and he was a wise man. The Lord allowed him to understand the very natures of things, and when he looked at it, of what normally would be looked at, he saw contradictions in it. He did. He saw the contradictions, because the fastest man should always win, right?
Yes.
The fastest man don't always win a race. It's been well known that they don't always win. And when he looked at that and said, he should have won. But he didn't, because there was something happened. He was running and there happened to be a gravel that threw him, a stone that threw him. There happened to be something that changed the course of the outcome. And when he looked at that and said, it ought to be one way, but it's not. Then he said, I have to conclude that the race is not to the swift. They don't always win, even though we think they should. He said, the battle's not to the strong. Well, why isn't it? Shouldn't it be? Why should a weak fella end up on top of the big fella? Well, why should a David beat a Goliath? It shouldn't happen. But he looked at it and said, I have to conclude something else, that there's something else involved in this situation. And in all these things, I want us to consider this. As the song said, wasted years. Just wasted years. Lord, help us not to waste our years. For it is truly said, time and opportunity happens to us all. We have a chance. We have time now. I don't know about arguing for tomorrow for any of us, but I can make a point for now.
Yeah.
We have time. And with time is opportunity.
Yeah.
But also with that is that the idea that it can change at any time. I can be a really smart fella, but it don't mean I'm gonna be rich over it.
No.
What you think, the smarter you are, the more you'd be able to make riches. I think it's somewhat true. But it isn't conclusive. There's people that hardly put anything into it, and it's not smart at all, that end up to be very wealthy people.
Yes.
One of the wealthiest people where I was growing up, or a guy that done very well, was a man that could only write his name. But he was industrious in a lot of ways, and it worked well for him. But we all have a chance tonight to be able to make the utmost of what we do have, and we ought to very well consider our lives that way. Well, no one can know what it all holds. No one can say what I'll need as this life goes on. What kind of resolution I need to make now to be able to have resolution later, or to be strong later. None of us can tell what life would be. We ought to redeem the time that we have.
Yes.
We have time, and we ought to use it to the utmost. Well, my message tonight is plead with you that the time that you have, don't squander it in wasted years. Use it to the utmost. Young people, you're not guaranteed anything. Use your life to live for the Lord to the utmost and build strong character.
Yes.
Well, I don't know how many of you followed the hearing today. It's been quite a deal. Maybe none of you did, but it was all about a man that was appointed to a Supreme Court Justice, and allegations made to him. And all through this process, there was something that just nagged at me. Did anyone ever tell a young man that his behaviors, no matter what he ended up being, could come back and get him? The whole thing that they had on him was that he drunk. I kept looking at that and said, I know when I heard the allegations to start with, I was saying, I hope he never took a drink in his life. Be great to stand up and everybody said, it couldn't be true, the man don't drink. But his drinking was a great disservice to him. It never played well for him in this. Because it was something that everybody knows doesn't serve mankind well, to get drunk. to act the way you will when you get drunk. I've never seen a drunk that I wanted to be around. It doesn't make you better,
no.
More sensible, more logical, or behave better. I just saying that I'm not saying anything about the political ramifications or he's innocent or guilty. I'm just saying that in my mind of a man, I wouldn't want to go and have to testify to that. I wouldn't want it to be said about me that I was in any way incoherent of my behaviors. I'm just saying it didn't serve him well, and I would recommend to my son, don't be caught in your life for having to make a testimony for that. It won't serve you well, but we have time and opportunity. What are we going to do with it? Build a way like that? Well, Lord, help us that we don't. Time and chance happens to them all. A few years ago, there was a man in the community I grew up in. I didn't see him much because I wasn't back to that community much. His name was Bob Wisner. And I knew Bob as a very soft-spoken man. I never heard of him having a quarrel or a disagreement with people. He was a very easygoing person. I didn't know him as a great friend, just kind of a casual guy that I knew, but he was in our community, a good bit older than what I was, but I knew him. I think everybody liked him. One of those guys. Just a nice guy. Worked hard, that kind of a guy. I think he was, as far as I know, somewhat religious. Him and another man was coming home from work one night from the coal mines in the 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock hour, the best I understand it, coming back from their job and driving south on Route 20 in Webster County, West Virginia. And they was going along. There was witnesses of this because there was another vehicle of men that worked at the same mines coming along. And they were coming along the highway at a normal speed. And a big tree fell off the bank. It had not been storming. The weather had not been bad. And the tree fell off of the bank at the highway. And they said that it was perfectly timed that the tree hit right down into the front seats of that car or vehicle. I think it was a truck. Perfectly right down in the front seat of that car and killed Bob Wisner and the other passenger instantly. People die all the time. In a lot of various ways. But that incident messed with the psyche of the community. It was so unusual that they couldn't get it. I was there and talked to him later. I actually talked to one of the first responders, and under a very several people around, and he didn't want this told, just publicized. But he said it comes so directly through that the limb of the tree broke off as it come through the top of the vehicle and put him right through there and pinned him straight to the seat. That's how directly it hit. You can do just a little bit of math, assuming speed limit's 55. He was going about that, as the witnesses said, 55 miles an hour. As he's coming along, it would mean that he was going 80 feet a second. 80 feet a second. That means that a fraction of a second, my band's 20 feet long. So a quarter of a second, I could have hit a mark and went by it in a quarter of a second. The space of that seat's about 2 feet. If you do the math on it, it means about a 40th of a second. They would have made a difference on whether he hit like that or not. That's why it messed with the psyche of the people in Webster County. I talked to some of them, and people die in vehicles all the time. Regularly people die. But it messed with them. I talked with some of them, and they were saying, I don't It's hard to believe. No storm, nothing going on, and so perfectly timed that that tree fell off in the middle of the night in and just fell off, and it got them like that. One woman said, and she was not religious that I knew of in any way, she said, "I it bothers me so much," she said, "I know, it has to be God. I mean, it had to be God. It just has to be. It's just too freak. It's too, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either. I know God knows everything. And I know time and chance happens to us all. I would never even assume to make a judgment on Bob other than what I knew him for, a very good man. But I'll say this, whatever time he had, chance took it from him. In a very quick way, without any warning or idea of a warning. If it had been storming, maybe they'd have been watching. Or you'd have seen something about no storm, nothing to indicate anything. And something so unusual happens to take his life out. And we all, folks, have time. I'm just saying we have time and opportunity. But opportunities aren't always granted to us. We have opportunities now to take care of the needs of our souls.
Yes.
We do now, we do tonight. But other than that, who can say? And the whole point of this is to say, whatever you think, you might think you're fast enough, but you won't win.
No.
You might think you're strong enough and not win. That's what the whole idea of this passage was about. But I looked at it, and he said, and behold, and it never come true. I look at these things all the time in that kind of a perspective. It doesn't mean it at all. Anything can happen. I see it happen on a regular basis. I like to pitch horseshoes and got fair at it and thrown it. But anybody can beat me. Well, you said they shouldn't be. You do. No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Me and my son was playing one time, and everybody thought we was the top ones playing because we proved we could do it. And we played a couple of guys, and the guy, well, I was the one of the guys, he couldn't throw the thing 40 feet and get it even to hit in the box when he played the other games that he played. And he played us, and he was a flopping things that was jumping all over the place and going around the peg. We didn't have a chance. It didn't make sense to me. I scratched my head. Shook their head and said, good job. It was so bad that when they saw that they was going to play us, they said, we're not playing. We're going to forfeit. And I said, you don't do anything. Come on, play. No, playing. We can't. This ain't no sense. We'll just do it. Oh, come on, play. And they played, and it was like he said. It was just the other way around. You never know.
No.
You never know. But time and opportunity is afforded to every one of us. Our hopes, our dreams, everything we think we might do, you have them. I have them. I'm just noticing myself condensing mine. Because I'm a realist and I know I'm not going to live long enough to accomplish some of the things that I think about. But I really do. I start thinking about things and think, well, this will take this or that. Well, there's no sense in me planning that. I'm not going to be here that long to do that. But I have hopes and dreams, things I think about. But beyond all that, I need to take care of my soul.
Yes.
Because I have no promise for anything else. I'm going to accomplish, or I'm going to gain, or I'm going to get, or this is going to work, or none of those things are promised. Time and chance happen to them all. We have opportunity, but we can't guarantee on anything. The opportunities we have now is a time that's given a gift of God to us to live righteously. To make a change if we need to change. You know, it's a great privilege to have time. Time's our best commodity.
Yes, it is.
It's our only real true commodity. It's our only real riches. You ever hear the term spending time? Do you know how true it is? Spending time. Because it's what's allotted. So when I say, well, I'm spending my time, you truly are spending your time. Do you ever think of the fact that I've thought of it many times, how bad stealing is? Do you know stealing, in essence, is robbing somebody of their life?
Yes, it is.
It really is. That's why it's so bad. It's because if it takes $100 to buy a chainsaw, and I make $10 an hour, I'll have to work 10 hours to buy that. You steal it. You just rob my 10 hours. I have to choose to do things in life, and sometimes it's going to be choose to put out an effort that I might have something better. People do it all the time, and you steal from them. You're stealing their time, their life. There's only one. But we have time and opportunity to spend. Is it really worth it for you to spend all the time of your life to make a mansion or $1 million? Well, it's up to you to decide whether you want to go for that or not. And spend the life that God gives you to be able to accomplish that here in this life. Some people do those kind of things. And say, this is what I'm going to do in my life. I want to be this. This is what I want to accomplish. I don't begrudge anybody of what they do. And when people work hard to get someplace, I say amen to it. You only got one life, and you put a lot of time into that one. You spent a lot of your life to get there. I've heard people that would throw off on people that had wealth because they become engineers or doctors or whatever they did. I'd never throw off on somebody that put that much time in school to be something, because you wouldn't catch old Marty doing that. I spent my life fishing. I like to fish. I'd rather fish than be a doctor. That's just the truth of it. I wouldn't want to become something that I had to give that much of my precious life to get there. I don't care that much for money. I don't care that much for the prestige of it. But when somebody says, well, look at those small, that big house up there, I say, good for them if they worked honestly to get it.
Yes.
Why not? It's the gift of God that they get reward for it. Well, I don't care that they did it, but time and opportunity, if they come down to the end and lose their soul, it won't mean much. Well, we have opportunity.
Yes.
Time and opportunity. But chance will happen. One writer says time and opportunity is mixed with incident and occurrences. The incidences of life. I thought it was so fitting sitting there, and all of a sudden there was a loud noise and a big limb fell on the tent back there. I don't know how many people noticed it, but it was quite a big crash and a limb fell on that. Thank the Lord that it wasn't big enough to come through there and catch one of you guys in the back of the head. And the Lord surely knows from bees' nests to limbs in trees. But from the idea that time and opportunity is mixed with incidences and occurrences is in all of our lives. And we've got to deal with those kind of things in life. There could be the possibility that one of these occurrences could make it till you have an inability to be able to even seek the Lord any longer.
Yes, that's true.
There is people that have strokes and heart attacks and things like that in life and never get the opportunity of a full mind any longer. There's a lot of things that happen, and so the opportunities and times that we have are to be used in serving the Lord and following the Lord. And Lord, help me to be able to do this, because now I've got the opportunity. But it isn't always that way. I want to look at a scripture in Amos, the 8th chapter of Amos. It says, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. The songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Amos, what do you see? A basket of summer fruit. You know what summer fruit? Summer fruit was, early in the year the fruit comes and you get it nice, firm, and hard, and you figure out what are you going to do with it. What am I going to do with this fruit? You can do a lot with it. You can freeze it, can it, keep it, dry it. But he says in this, there's nothing else you can do with it. Nothing. Oh, you can eat it quickly. But he said, "What it, my people, there's a point that the opportunity, the time, the opportunity is gone." Yep. You know, I shudder at this thought. For me, that there would be a place that the Lord would look and say, there's nothing else that I can do with you. Well, that would be horrible.
Yes.
God's got so much at His arsenal. He's got so much. But He looked at Israel and said, there's nothing else that I can do with you. There's no other movements. I can't touch you. I can't inspire you. I can't make you feel guilt. I can't get you encouraged. I can't work with good things or bad things. There's nothing I can do. You know, you can get so hardened to the gospel, so hardened to the preaching, that you get to a place that you can't be moved at all. There's people like that. The Lord has His ways of doing things. He's got providence. He's got mercies. He's got chastisings. He's got visitations, warnings. He's got all these things. Then He said to them, all of them's complete. I can't warn you against it anymore. I can't chastise you anymore. That don't work. I can't bless you with mercies and get you to move. There's nothing else that I can do. The idea of being the summer fruit is the idea when the time and opportunities no more. It's got to the point that there's nothing left. There's no more opportunity. There's nothing God can do. God don't want us to get into that place. You know, honestly, the Lord don't want us to be sinners. He deals with us and brings us out of that. But there's a stage within that we need to be warned about within the Christian experience. That's when I can sit in my seat and not be touched by the Spirit of the Lord. That's dangerous. That I can't be moved to higher things. I want to encourage you here. If you have a mind to serve the Lord, do it with a fullness of heart. I can say this, and I think that at least the preachers would amen me. We want more than anything for the Lord to be glorified.
Yes,
they do. I think it would just be really, I don't think it's overly impressive when someone comes into our gatherings and one or two people have to do everything. Well, I ain't saying I want the Lord to lead, but if they look on the life of the congregation and the impression that they have to the glory of God, it would be much fuller, would it not, if the people were alive? Well, it would be better. I would be more impressed by it. If I come in and the songs were singing, I ain't very impressive. I'd be more impressed when they said they mean it.
Yes.
Singing like you mean it. I'd be more impressed than if there's more than one person than two people that pray out in all the big meeting we had.
Yes.
Because it's indicative of life and what the Lord's doing. I'm only saying this not to be little at all. I'm saying this to stir our hearts to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? What is my part? I've got time and opportunity. I don't want it to run out on me. And I get down to the end of the way and the Lord say, I had in mind for you to be a great prayer warrior. And you never stepped out for it. I had in mind for you to be such an inspiration, but you wouldn't step out to do it. I ain't trying to be the Holy Ghost for anyone. It just seems logical to me that the Lord wants to do more with each one of us. And if we will all be willing to say, Lord, help me to find my part in my local congregation and beyond. Lord, what do you want me to do? Because if I don't, my opportunity's gone. My opportunity's gone, and then what am I going to do? I'd like to see, I can say this for the home congregation, and I do with the home congregation. When I go there, And I'm willing to do whatever the Lord wants me to do. And when I go there, and I lead the services, and I pray before Sunday school and do the Sunday school, then after Sunday school I dismiss, then I have the lead the services and then pray before the regular service and then preach and dismiss service with prayer, somebody's out of order. I know the Lord wants to do more than that. But there's only one way to consider it. Maybe, I wouldn't say it because it wouldn't be right for me to say, I don't know whether the Lord wants you to pray in public or not. I know He wants you to pray in private. I can't say whether you're supposed to be a public person or not. But you make sure that you can say you're not. If you're interested in things of the Lord, it's the opportunity that we have. Is somebody else always supposed to call a song? Or maybe I can have one that burns on my heart sometimes too. Am I only supposed to listen to someone else testify? It's your opportunity. Lord, help me to fit my role. Am I the one that always says to the preacher, "Preacher, I got somebody I want you to talk to." I always get a kick out of this one. I suppose I got plenty of people to talk to. And I want to know why it is that you think that the preacher should be talking to somebody that the Lord put in your life. Are you saved? Can you tell them you're saved? Can you tell them what the Lord done for you? I'm not shirking any responsibility. I do what the Lord wants me to do. I talk to them if the Lord wants me to talk to them. But a lot of times I don't think the Lord wants me to do it. I think He wants you to do it. I think He wants you to take your time and opportunity to get closer to the Lord. That's getting closer to the Lord. We want to be closer to the Lord, and the Lord has ways of getting us closer to the Lord. Sometimes it's through people and through duties and through things. I've lived it. I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes the Lord blesses you and you have a great relationship with the Lord when you've done what He said, and the Lord will be close. Lord, help us. It's an opportunity, a time of opportunity. With these people, it got to the place to where the Lord said, visitation don't help. Mercy don't help. Chastenings don't help. I've run the gamut of my arsenal for humanity, and I've never moved them. And when He done that, He said, not because He's a mean God, because the door's closed. He said there's nothing left. You imagine this. I want you to get a good visual of this. Summer fruit. The dew will help deteriorate it. The rain would help rotten it. And the sun would destroy it. All the elements of heaven would ruin the fruit more. It wouldn't make it better. All the things that was designed for the accomplishment of the fruit, it's been too far, and now all the agents of heaven can't do anything but ruin it. Do you know that that can happen in our lives until the things that God would have intended to make us better is only judgment to us? Yeah. Well, it's an awful place to be in. It's an awful place to that. I know why the psyche of Webster County was messed up with that. I know why it was. Because it was unexplainable to the human mind that something could do it. But I want to tell you, things happen in life all the time. We ought to fear that end when you can't be touched by anything. Well, this idea of God's working in our lives, sometimes He'll allow severe things to happen in our lives. Yes. Rock us. Shake us. But if that don't help, what's He going to do? I've marveled. My wife and I, we talked about it. She could testify to it too. How many times people we know in our world, something devastating happened. And we look and say, we know what that's for. The Lord's chasing their souls. It's obvious to us. They're away from the Lord. They're running a bad way. They're going to be destroyed. And the Lord allows something to just rock their lives. And we say, surely. Surely they'll move. Surely they'll make a, a move towards God, and no move's ever made. And it doesn't do anything but to cause it to go just a little farther. And we sat in wonderment. Oh, Lord, have mercy. If that had been us, we'd have been down on our face. And it already even make a wrinkle in the evil lifestyle that they pursue. And so what's that all about? Time and opportunity has been given and squandered over and over, and God sent it. And you know, God will send blessings through sometimes to get our attention of how good He is. And it doesn't do anything but to cause us to use it for some kind of an evil purpose. And made more rotten as we go. People take these beautiful days and go do wickedly with them. God didn't mean you to go take these beautiful days and do wicked with them. And yet they take them and go and do bad stuff with them. God doesn't want to do bad stuff. Well, that's not what it's for. And we get rotten there all the time. And the Lord has a way of working in our lives. Amos, what do you see? I see summer fruit. There's nothing else to be done. The process is at its end. Is it in the beginning of the season where we're going to produce a lot of fruit? And what are we going to do with it? No, we're right down to the last pick. There's no more fruit coming on the vine or on the tree. It's all gone now. And the only thing left in the basket is a basket of summer fruit. And if you don't do it real quick, the warning is you can't do anything else. I have no remedy. There's nothing I can do. I've tried to be nice. I've tried to be an encouragement. I've sent meetings. I've sent messages. I've sent some to your encouragement and some to your warning. You know, there's all kinds of things in a preacher's life. We do all kinds of things, don't we, Brother Ann? We have messages of warning, messages of encouraging, some doctrines for teaching. All the things that comes at different times to be a blessing to life. What are you going to do when the Lord can't do anything but time and opportunity, along with its incidents and occurrences, will be in every life. And you and I aren't immune to the incidents and occurrences of life. And you don't know what. I say that in this sense. They are in God's arsenal. These incidents and occurrences to God's people belong to Him. Yes. And He uses them many times for that. And I want to take heed to those kind of things. I don't like the feeling of thinking I'm just out on the winds of anything that can happen to me. I want to get my mind back that it's the Lord. When I hear of someone's small child that gets sick and dies, it touches me. Because I got small children. And do you mean it just happened? They just happened to get sick? They got a scratch on them and it infected and they died, and that can happen to anybody. And I heard recently about a child that got one of the most rarest diseases in the world, and it was a terrible thing. And I looked and said, if it happened to them, could it happen to mine? Am I just wrong to anything that any kind of thing can happen? I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're the one that watches over us. I want to make sure I keep him the one that watches over me too. And one who are blessed. And the one that even if he does allow those incidents in life, it's for my soul. And I can put my anchor, my soul in him. But we have opportunity. Can't you say tonight I want to be all the Lord would have me to be? And Lord, if you want to call me to a deeper place of service to you, allow me to be able to have the grace to do it. Listen, there is nobody under this tent more unlikely to be a minister than me. That's the truth. And yet the Lord did. He said, well, there's nobody under here that can. I can't pray out, neither could I. Well, I can't get up and speak, neither could I. But I'm going to tell you what I told the Lord when He saved me. I told Him, if you save me, I will do whatever you want me to do. And the Lord saved me. And I still say today, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to do it. And I, when the Lord started calling me to that kind of stuff, I said, truly, the Lord, it didn't have to be a mistake. Lord, I will be a fool, I said to the Lord. I'll be a fool for you. Because that's exactly what I thought I'd be. Lord, if you want me to embarrass myself all over myself, I'll do it. I'll do whatever it takes for you to do it. You know what? The Lord wants to call everybody to something. And there's time and opportunity for it to happen. But there'll become a time that whatever He planned for your life won't be accomplished. It'll be too far gone. It'll be times of the summer fruit, and then the Lord will say, no dew would help, no soothing rains, no calm situations, no powerful storms or warnings or anything will help in our lives. Consider tonight what the Lord would have you do. I got a vision sometimes in my mind. My dream, my thoughts in my own heart and mind, of a lot livelier church. I ain't talking about drumming up emotions.
No.
I'm talking about a fervor for God. I'm talking about a reality that is in every one of us. A desire. I know people don't like the idea of, well, I started out to pray and somebody else started out to pray, and that makes it look like maybe one of us, the Lord wasn't leading into this. I'd like to hear four or five people have to stop praying just because they were so... I wouldn't care about that. And say, well, I know there is right and that kind of stuff, and I think we ought to mind those kind of things. But I wouldn't mind at all that there'd be people saying, well, maybe I won't sing tonight, with, since there's already been four or five sing. Maybe I'll keep my seat, but I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Alive. Taking a special mind to the opportunity that we have. Folks, if we're going to live for the Lord, why not do it to its fullest? Why not give our all in it? Why not make it the best that we can be as a people, as our worship to God? Why not give us our all to it and just say, Lord, I'm not cutting this thing short. If you want me to do something, I want to find you in it. I want to find what you want me to do. And let it ring. Let it ring. Those got a song, sing. Those got a prayer, pray. Those that got a message, preach it. Why not? Give it all. I'll tell you, the Lord reproved me one morning. I kind of felt like I was, well, it wasn't just a morning, it was a section of my life. But I was going to service and it was so plain in my heart. Because my mind was, is that I'm going to have to go to service. I'm going to go to service. I'm pumping myself, I'm going to go to service. And the Lord seemed to speak so plainly in me and said, if you're going to give that much to Him, why don't you do it right? Yeah, Lord, why don't I? If you're going to do this, why don't you do it right? I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to bear myself here a little bit. I feel like the Lord called me to preach, obviously. I feel like He did. But it's been against my nature. It has been against me to the point that I do it because I love the Lord and I want to be faithful. But the Lord talked to me for some time saying, you can have joy in it. And you know what? I started saying to the Lord, help me to love this. Help me to do this, not just out of duty, but help me do it that this is what I want to do. And this is the only way that I can try to relate it. I've never felt that way about fishing, that I'm just out there doing it. I've never felt like, well, I sure hate to do this, but I'm going to have to do it. When I go fishing, the idea of casting out there and getting that thing to hit is so exciting to me that I just do it with joy. So I told the Lord, Lord, help me to cast out with joy. Help me to have some joy in my heart. If I'm going to do this and make it my life, help me to do it till there's a stronger delivery of somebody that wants to do it. You know, us preachers, well, it's more than, it comes from in here. If it's coming right, I didn't stand up and tell, I didn't stand up and do this because of the Spirit of the Lord, but because I mean it. It's hollow if I don't, and everybody will know it. But when I really, really mean it, it comes, it rings true to the listener. And I said, Lord, help me to do it and enjoy doing it. Now, I ain't saying it's perfect yet. But I have really enjoyed, since I started dealing with the Lord about it, I have had so much more, if you'll allow me to use this expression, I've had so much more fun in these meetings. And enjoy to be able to do it and want to go. If you're going to do it, well, I'm going to go to service, then enjoy it.
Yes.
Put your heart into it.
Yes.
Why? There's time and opportunity. It isn't going to always be here. To build a life takes time.
There was an expression that I wrote down. It says, to the works of sin, as of holiness, there is a beginning, a progress, and a completion. The summer fruit was the expression of that completion. Sin had taken these people to a point of completion. It had a beginning and a progress during life, and then a completion, as it is with holiness. And if that's true, well, let's say this, then holiness has its beginning and a progress and an ending. And we want to live our lives towards that ending of holiness in our lives. And so, as far as it is, this particular day in September 2018, there is time and chance for every one of us. We have yet, within our lives, a time to make it all that it can be and be able to put into our lives exactly what the Lord would have us to have. I believe that there's going to be times that we're going to need what the Lord wants to give us now. I pray often for our young people and children at home, especially at Sunday school. I pray that the Lord would give them something in those little classes they have to fortify their lives against the evil day. That they would have something solidly put in their lives that when the hard time and the evil day comes and they have to face a continually evil world, one that's denying God more and more, that there'd be such a foundation in their lives that they could maintain themselves through an evil day. I pray it not for them only, but for us too.
Yes.
The further this day goes, the further it gets away from God. The more we go, the further it goes. And Lord, I'm going to need something to sustain me against the evil day that's coming in there. And now I have the opportunity to do it. I've got an opportunity to change the course of my life. I'll say, if there's anyone in here with a bitterness in your heart, don't carry it outside this tent tonight. You have time and opportunity. I wouldn't say or predict anything of a tree falling on your car or anything like that, but it happens. In life, people face all kinds of things. It would be awful to face God with a bitterness in your heart. It's a terrible thing even also to take a bitterness and let it get to the point that you can't even deal with it in life and become summer fruit in everything the Lord tried to do. I was impressed. Brother Carl is here. He could tell you, but I was impressed with a lady that went to the altar one time in a meeting and got saved. And said after that, she had wanted to be saved for a long, long time. 40 years. And she couldn't do it because she had had a fight with a family member and she could not bring herself. 40 years she held the bitterness that she was not going to ask Him to forgive her. 40 years! And I know 40, that's awful, but I was so impressed that she went and found forgiveness and told us, I am willing to do whatever I have to do to be saved. She took the time and opportunity and she went to that person and asked them to forgive her. After 40 years. Well, if you're here tonight and have things in your life, I entreat you. Take the time and opportunity to straighten those things out. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord, and I'd say on a group of people this size, that if you was to ask the question and say, if the Lord comes tonight, are you satisfied? And I'm going to ask it, but you don't have to answer it. But answer it in your own, to yourself. Are you satisfied tonight? If the Lord would come for you tonight, are you satisfied to say, it's well with my soul? I've got it all took care of. Because if you're not, it's really a foolish thing to waste the opportunities. They make you harder. It makes it harder to do it. The best time to say I'm sorry is just as quick as you can. Then you don't have to wear it out that way. Now, I remember years ago, told this many times, but my boss gave me a job one time. And he told me when he gave it to me, he said, we'll put you on this job. And he said, I want you to know that I bid this job too close. And anything's going to make us lose money on it. Well, he told me that. Well, we went out and worked on it one day. I got disoriented on the job for one thing. And then, to be honest with you, we just didn't do the job the way we should have done it. Next day, next morning, the boss was standing with a map spread out of our work, called me there with the other men around, the ones I was working with, and called me in there and said, "What is this?" Well, I kind of had a gift for saying a whole lot and not saying anything. So I said a whole lot of nothing about how it happened, and he was standing there scratching his head. And I'm not sure that he understood exactly what I was trying to say, but I turned around to walk away, and the Lord spoke to me so plain and said, "Are you going to leave that like that?" I'm going to tell you, it wasn't easy. And I turned right around. I mean, just turned right back around and told my boss, "I'm sorry. This is the truth. You sent us out there to do a job, and we fooled around. We did not do the job the way we should have done it." And the guys that worked with me was like, "We fooled around on the job. We did not do it right." Well, it was hard to do, folks. But it was a whole lot easier driving home that day, having done it. Because I was given a time and an opportunity to make that right, and I made it right. And you are given tonight, by the Spirit of the Lord, an opportunity to check your life and see whether it is acceptable or not acceptable. Those things will happen to everybody, and you never know what life's going to hold, or you'll ever have an opportunity to do it again, or that you'll ever feel the spirit of conviction again. Some people think they control it, and they don't. You ever hear somebody say, "I'm going to get saved before I die"? It's a foolish thing to say. You cannot know that you can feel like being saved. You may not have a notion or an idea at all later in your life to be saved. The notions that you have, they're fleeting. There's been many people say that and get old and not even have a clue about it. I've been marveled at people that once knew the Lord and get old, and you say they're old now and there's nothing else. What are they fighting for? Why won't they serve the Lord? They don't have any heart or mind to serve the Lord at all. They don't feel it. They don't feel the motions of the Lord. Don't get like that. Work with the Lord. Time and chance happens to all. You pray for me.